Over the past few months on The Weekly Reader, we've talked a lot about the National Book Critics Circle fiction finalists, but somehow there's still one we haven't featured on the show. I'm Lisa Morgan, here with University of Baltimore professor and Baltimore Fishbowl columnist Marian Winnick. Hi, Marian.
Hi, Lisa. Yes, that fifth finalist is Imagine Me Gone by Adam Hazlett, a beautiful novel about a family with a history of mental illness. In the first chapter, we hear from Alec, the youngest son, who has stepped outside a cabin in Maine into a snowstorm. Something very bad has happened to his brother, Michael. He doesn't say what it is, but the next chapter is Michael's, and it consists of an outgoing voicemail message from his therapist, or at least a dream version of one. Quote, "If this is about a refill for a medication you require in order to survive, and you have some concern that your request may not reach me in time, and it seems likely that the words you are about to speak into this machine will be your last, then please know that you tried very hard indeed, and you loved your family as deeply as you could." From that intense, ominous beginning, the book moves fluidly through the family's history, back to the time when their parents met, to the mother's decision to go through with the marriage, even after learning that her fiancé suffered from depression. As everyone says who reads this book, yes, it's incredibly sad, but read it anyway. Hazlett's ability to capture the inner lives and voices of each of his characters make Imagine Me Gone one of those transporting experiences that we readers are so addicted to.
Well, perhaps the topic of mental illness sort of guarantees a sad book.
You'd think so, but I've also got three memoirs of mental illness to recommend that are less tragic than Hazlett's novel. Two of them are rock-solid classics of the memoir genre, books I have my students at the University of Baltimore reading year after year. The first is Girl Interrupted by Susanna Kazin. And don't think you know all about it if you saw the not-so-great movie with Winona Ryder. Written in very short, deadpan, and often funny chapters, Kazin tells the story of how in the late 1960s, at the age of 18, she spent 2 years in a fancy mental hospital with a bunch of other girls, basically because her parents were tired of dealing with her. Another contemporary classic, one that kicked off a whole new age of memoir when it was published in 1995, is The Liars Club by Mary Carr. It's the story of two girls growing up in a completely dysfunctional family in a two-bit East Texas oil town in the early 60s. Their mother was crazy, their father was president of the eponymous Liars Club, and their whole childhood was pockmarked by tragedies great and small. Yet Carr, who was then called Pokey, the toughest little 9-year-old on the block, manages to keep cracking jokes and slipping in head-spinning lines like, "Maybe if Mother hadn't taken it in her head to shoot Hector, we'd never have got back to Texas." I'll finish with a more recent book, Ayelet Waldman's A Really Good Day. This dissatisfied mother of four had tried everything from Adderall to Zoloft before she turned to dropping acid in the morning. Her journal of this experiment interweaves drug-related research with scenes from her famous marriage to the writer Michael Chabon. A former federal attorney, Waldman describes herself as a nerd who has never purchased illegal drugs. Yet once she started microdosing with her morning coffee, she behaved so much more pleasantly that her children wondered out loud if she was tripping. Even her chronic pain got better.
Well, as they say, whatever works for you, but acid in your coffee? I don't know. Well, you can find more information about these titles, links to reviews, and our podcast at wipr.org/programs/weekly-reader. The Weekly Reader podcast is made possible by the Ivy Bookshop. For The Weekly Reader, I'm Lisa Morgan.
And I'm Marian Winnick.